Welcome to What's Poppin'.
This is a podcast about whatever we want it to be today because we're your hosts. I'm Kara.
I'm Kendra, and we have a special guest today. Hi, Pastor Mark.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for having me on my own podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking us. So to start the questions today, we were just really curious, how long have you lived in this area? Which is an odd thing for us to ask.
It is kind of odd.
I feel like we knew about it the whole time.
Yeah.
But I have a good follow-up, so.
We have been here for 6 months, a little over 6 months at this point.
When you say we, who do you mean?
I mean myself, my wife, Lauren, and my daughter, Luella.
Do you have any pets?
Oh, yeah. We have two dogs. One is named George. One is named Millie. We have a crayfish now, thanks to third grade at Prince of Peace, which is named Bob the Snowman. It's a girl. Four feeder fish for the crayfish that the crayfish has not eaten yet. And three tree frogs.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
And the names of the tree frogs are Ferguson, Bert, and Dump Truck.
You have a good follow-up to that?
Dump Truck.
I'm speechless now.
Yeah. No, I like Dump Truck. You also have some crickets?
We got lots of crickets. We got about 800 crickets right now.
A little cricket farm going on.
A little cricket farm going in the garage. Mercy. To feed the tree frogs.
Yeah. Very nice.
Not just like a hobby. That'd be kind of weird.
I mean, everyone has their thing.
Although I do have some isopods that I am raising, so.
You're into propagation too? Like what else are you doing?
Yeah. It's a bioactive tank for the tree frogs. And so you have to have springtails and isopods in there to keep everything going.
Sounds like it's going to feed itself eventually.
It does, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's got live plants in it. It just takes care of itself.
I'm going to do that with my family.
Put them in a tank?
Make them bioactive.
They can just feed themselves. It sounds like a good life plan.
Some crickets and isopods. Mm-hmm. You guys just hang out there. We'll let you out every once in a while when we clean your tank. So does it feel like you've been here 6 months? Does it feel like you've been here longer?
6 years.
6 years?
It feels like longer than 6 months because I feel very at home already with the church and with the staff. And so in a good way, it feels like longer than 6 months.
What's like some of your favorite things that you've gotten to do in those 6 months so far? Not just at Prince of Peace, but like anything.
Yeah. So at Prince of Peace, getting to know the people has been fun and good. And getting to know the kids, the youth things I really enjoyed. And like doing teaching someone bass at the praise band was really cool. And so that's been good. As far as like around the area, the mountain biking is fantastic. And so I enjoyed that. Took a buddy out to go hike in the Redwoods last week, and I just really enjoyed that. So
you guys like hiking too, right, Kara?
We love hiking. Yeah. I was just talking to my friend Emily, who was visiting from out of town, and you know, here in the Bay Area, we say hiking, mm-hmm. but oftentimes we mean things that are like level.
Yes.
And outdoor there's no
walking.
Elevator.
Yeah, outdoor walking.
Glorified walking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But where, you know, where I come from, you know, hiking, there's obviously elevation involved.
Like backpacks and sticks.
Sure. Yeah. Or just elevation at all. Like even 100 feet, you know, that's a hike. But it's
and where
okay.
I come from, this is elevation. There is some elevation to the hike. So I think it's hiking. Yeah.
The next question is kind of odd to me because it's how did you get to Prince of Peace? I assume some mode of transportation. Would you explain that further?
Your isopods, right? You just like rode on their back.
Many of these things actually came once we got here. We only had the dogs when we moved. And so how did we get here? The call process. originally, we were down in Southern California in a town called Oceanside. And so we were there for the last 8 years at a church down there. And so through the call process, we ended up being up here and we drove.
Okay, so we know what a call means or what a call process means. Can you explain that to people that don't know? Because that's such a weird terminology in the real world.
All right, so in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the way it works for a call process for pastors and for other workers too, is you are somehow you're okayed by the LCMS to be a worker in the line of vocation that you're in. So as a pastor, the seminary says that you're okay. You have gone through the training, so you get to be rostered. Once you're a rostered worker, then any church anywhere in the LCMS can call you to come do your vocation at that place. If you're at a church already, what happens is you get phone calls and they say, is there any reason why you cannot interview with us for this position? person. And there's very few reasons why you can't. And so it's pretty much a question of, will you interview with us and when? And so the way it worked for me this last time is typically a pastor gets contacted once or twice a year by congregations looking for interviews. For me this last year, I had 6 or 7 contacts. I was like, okay, God, I get it. I should probably keep my eyes open. The interview process takes place usually online first, video stuff. Sometimes the church will fly you out to meet them in person for the interviews. And then if the pastor and the congregation, the call committee, want to keep moving forward, there's more interviews, and then the congregation takes, the call committee takes that information to the congregation, and then the congregation calls with a capital C that pastor to come be the pastor of that congregation, at which point the pastor has the opportunity to let his current congregation know that he has been called somewhere else, which is usually a shock to that congregation, which is really kind of cruddy. And then usually has between 3 and 6 weeks, 2 to 6 weeks, to decide whether or not he'll take that call. And so I took the call at Prince of Peace, and that's how I ended up here. And oh, I can't share news yet, but my previous congregation is doing okay.
Okay.
Yay. Yeah. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always hard to leave the people that you are working with prior, and because you love the people, but in some ways the work, in a big way, is the same. So you're still serving the church at large, you're serving God and all of that. And you just don't want to leave them in a lurch. So I'm glad they're doing okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I'm excited for them.
Yay. Well, let's talk about the message from last Sunday.
Okay.
We could interview you about, I mean,
own message.
Yeah.
I mean, I really liked the speaker.
He was okay.
He's okay.
So tall.
He's very tall.
So what are two things from the message last Sunday? It was your second message on Philippians from chapter 3. What did you like? What sounded good? What stood out to you about it?
There were a couple things I liked about it, and one of them was the talking about righteousness, because we use the word a lot, but we don't define it very often. And so I think the visual of, you know, God being like a spotlight that, you know, vaporizes sin.
I like that.
Works pretty well, and that we can't be in that spotlight with sin on us. And so Jesus' death and resurrection makes us righteous so that we can be in good standing with God and be in that spotlight and not be vaporized. So I liked that. I also liked how it was highly gospel-centered. Mm-hmm. It was very clear that it's not about what we've done or what we haven't done that make us righteous. It's about what Jesus does for us. And so I like that too. I think I could have had more practical stuff about the things that we need to forget or leave behind. Mm-hmm. Got any ideas for what I could have said about things? I flipped the script on you guys.
Ooh, wait, whose podcast is this?
Right, we're the hosts.
Got any ideas about what we could have done practically to talk about things that you leave behind? Paul says forget, but we know you can't forget. But those things that you don't put your confidence or hope or think disqualify you from being in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I can speak. I was thinking of some of those life application type things, how does this connect to my life? And I think there are times in my life where I have been proud of or put my confidence in my Lutheran education, that I went to a Lutheran elementary school, or even that my parents were Lutheran school teachers for a time. That is a false sense of security and confidence, though, because I can't use that, obviously, to build on. But there have been times in my life where I'm like, yeah, this makes me qualified. And then on the converse, things that make me feel disqualified, I don't know. There's been times where I've, in college, I had a friend. We were singing at a church because we were in choir, and I like didn't want to go up for communion. I was just like, oh, we've been here for 4 hours, and I don't. And he was a pre-sem student. Yeah. He was like, you should never despise the opportunity to receive this means of grace. And I was really stubborn, and I should have gone up, and I didn't. And I still feel convicted about that, but.
Yeah.
But it doesn't disqualify me now. So those are a couple of things that came to mind. Kendra?
Yeah.
Anything?
What about you? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I tend to think of it as like the weight of things in like my past, or like even just looking around the congregation and knowing, being privileged to know some people's stories or where people are at in their lives at this point. And just, you can sometimes like see people carry a weight. And you're like, man, I wish I wish I could take that. And then it's like, no, wait, that's not. No, wait. Like, and then it's just that, like you said, like it's so Jesus centric where it's just like, I don't know if this is gonna make a difference. And you don't ever want to like try to use the gospel as a band-aid and right. be like, oh, God's gonna make it all fine.
You don't want to trivialize it.
No, yeah. You don't want to placate it at all because it is something that they are holding and it's stuff that I've held before. And so it's just, but I have also found I say moments of it where it's just that moment of relief or the moments of grace. And a lot of it comes in hearing it. Like that's why I find it so important to come to church. It's not just my job. It's so important to come because mm-hmm. I need to hear that.
Yeah, we need like to just hear repeat over it and back over and over back again. To
me. Yeah. Or yeah. like going up and taking communion and communion's not magic. It is something where it's like, oh, this is where, you know, it gets taken off of me. And so, yeah, so that is a huge part of it when listening to you. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so do we get to ask the questions?
You do, yeah, yeah.
What else, finally, like, in conclusion, yeah. about the great sermon we heard on Sunday, what, or maybe even a takeaway from getting to study Philippians mm-hmm. in depth yeah. last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, okay, so a takeaway, because I did get to study it in depth with the Reverend Dr. Jeff Kloa, and that was really good. One of the things that Paul encourages the Philippians is that they are supposed to be involved in each other's lives the way Jesus is involved in our life. And not in a sense of like trying to meet, you know, the expectations of the Son of God, you know, like we can't be Jesus, but we are supposed to imitate him, you know, and be like him to each other. And so we have to be in community. And that's one of the things that Professor Kloa had stressed, you know, is like Christianity is community. It just is. Like, in order to live out your faith, you have to be around others.
Yeah, that's really good. I know I enjoy that with our staff, with Kendra especially, and being able to just be present with each other mm-hmm. and feel seen and be vulnerable. Because, like you were saying 2 weeks ago, we can't do that with everyone. Right. We just don't have the bandwidth to do that with tons of people. But we can with a smaller number, you know, so it's important to be there for each other.
And I hear it so often, especially from like our school families, that is the special thing about Prince of Peace and Prince of Peace School is there is an identity of community there, whether it's their little small community in their classrooms or they get to know people across the board. And it just, I'll do a little plug here, like things like the Harvest Festival that's coming up on Saturday, like that is, it's so important to our identity here at Prince of Peace because it's important to our identity as Christians. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to be in that community with people.
Gotta live it out.
Yeah.
It's in our mission statement too. His community.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Go figure.
So we have a final question for you
here. All right.
Sent in from Lynn Howell.
And I haven't seen it yet. Now, typically I give the interviewees the questions ahead of time.
Yeah.
So this one's totally...
Sight unseen. Heard unheard. Yeah. Okay. So, Lynn did get to pick this out. Does that make you nervous?
Mm-hmm. We approved of it.
Yeah.
It very much so makes me nervous.
All right.
What kind of kid were you?
Like spoiled, obnoxious, troublemaker.
It was the worst. It was the worst kind
Go
of kid.
Go on.
Yes. Go on. I had huge anger issues. Like huge anger issues. And I would like hulk out and beat people up as a little kid. Like, and so older kids would like to antagonize me because they'd like to see me get really angry and start fighting everybody. And so I was horrible. And I used to beat up my older sisters because they would bother me. And so I carried that into, I was just an angry kid for a long time. But you know, sweet, but angry.
You had your moments.
So this is fantastic. I went to a Lutheran grade school, which wasn't bad, but here's how they dealt with me. In first grade, I spent the year in the corner with my nose in the corner. In second grade, I did pretty good in second grade and spent time in the hallway, but not too bad. In third grade, my desk was next to the teacher's desk the entire time. She was an art teacher and she liked me because I was good at art. And so she kept me close by, but it wasn't by the other students. In fourth grade, I spent the entire school year outside in the hallway, and I would say things to like to my sisters, like, don't tell mom, because they would walk by to the bathroom and they would see me. Fifth grade, I had an art teacher again. She liked me, and that was my best year at all. And then sixth grade, hallway, principal's office. Seventh grade, principal's office. Eighth grade, principal's office. And so I was not in the classroom much because I was naughty. But mostly, but it turns out this is going to sound bad. I was probably smarter than what they were giving me, credit for. And I was getting what they were saying when they would say it. And then I would start goofing around, talk to other kids.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So I wasn't like a mean kid that way, I was just,
you're just bored.
Class clown was bored.
Yeah. Okay, this sounds like an appropriate time to plug the Parenting with Love and Logic opportunity we have next Thursday night, November 3rd, for how to hand problems back to the kids and to parent when kids are misbehaving with calm.
Yeah, and so to my parents' credit, my parents were great. The teachers needed to go through this Love and Logic class.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
tough, but you're not like that anymore.
No, I am not.
It surprises me to hear that you were an angry child.
Oh, super. Oh, in high school, I was really angry. Mm. Yeah. Jesus changed me, like, tremendously.
For real.
In high school, I was a very angry kid. Mm, okay. Yeah, super duper angry.
Well, I'm glad you're better now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
God's done a good work in you.
He's done fantastic things. Yeah, I know both sides pretty well. So I appreciate what he's done for me. And I understand and hopefully have grace and mercy for a lot of people and kids because I know what it can be like.
Yeah, you know how to be. You know what that kid is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I also can be one step ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No hope for my daughter.
Oh, she has no wiggle room.
No wiggle room.
Well, Luella, we'll keep you in our prayers.
That'd be good.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mark, for joining our podcast today. And we are just so thankful that you're a pastor and that we get to spend time with you.
Yeah. Thanks for being here for 6 months. We have lots more time.
Yeah, so. And thank you for interviewing me on short notice. I appreciate it. It was fun.
You're welcome. It was fun.
I should have you guys do this more often.
Yeah.